The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Can I get y'all anything else?
Welcome to Breakfast with Brett Pope. I hope you saved room for dessert.
I'm almost full. Almost.
Who doesn't love dessert? You have earned this.
Breakfast.
Homemade pecan pie. I love it. Whatever happened to angel food cake? Any type of rhubarb pie. Rhubarb strawberry. Rhubarb peach. That's sour and sweet together. It's hard to beat. Who saved room for dessert? It's dessert breakfast.
I'll get that right to you.
So, Michael Festin, do you have people that you consider influences? Maybe not as a casting person, but maybe as a writer or as a creative person that you think, I like how this person approaches things, or I like the result of what they do?
I mean, not like in my personal life. In terms of like, no, none of that stuff. I'm pretty independent in that sort of sense. I don't.
Who molded you, like, kind of your personality? Like, who
molded?
Who molded you like clay?
I love that.
Okay. So when you're a kid, who's influencing you? Like, it's like me. I'm watching Andy Kaufman. I'm watching like Bowser from Sha Na Na. And I'm like, I'm being obnoxious
these
guys.
I don't know. I mean, there was really nobody specific in terms of. I mean, I was a voracious reader, so I read a lot.
Well, that's an influence. Who are you reading when you're younger?
Oh, God, I mean, I used to read like 2, 3, 4 books a week, you know, from
voracious reader. Yeah, that's how I was too.
Six until like 26. And then I was like, I'm done reading.
Really?
Yeah. I was just like, I'm done.
I don't read nearly as much as I used to, but when I was younger, I was a very big like Ray Bradbury, Tolkien.
You know, I read everything. I mean, I went through periods, you know, I went through like, you know, true crime periods and then, you know, biographies and, you know, gothic, you know, my favorite books are Lolita, Dracula. And I like sort of the Iliad and the Odyssey. I know that sounds really weird and sort of, you know, hoity-toity, but I did love those. I mean, probably the biggest sort of creative influence for me in terms of what I'm driven towards, and this is really cliched and sort of, you know, again, what does he think he is? But, I mean, Stanley Kubrick, I'm in awe of everything that he's ever done, so.
His eye for, this is going to sound stupid, what he puts in front of the camera and how he puts it in front of the camera.
Well, he was a photographer, and so he sort of understands. I mean, there's a whole thing about, you know, Kubrick symmetry. Yeah, so that was, you know, The Shining is my favorite movie of all time, and that was the movie that sort of I went to solidified my idea that this is the area that I want to be in.
Yeah, somebody recently was telling me that they didn't think The Shining was that good, and I was like, out of my house.
They should be hung. Sorry to whoever said that, but you should.
It's brilliant. It's
I just watched it the other night.
I mean, how many iconic moments, even if you're just people showing clips of it, you know from that movie? There's probably at least 5 that I can name off the top of my head.
For me, there's more than 5, but yeah.
You got the Here's Johnny. You got the Red Rum Girls.
Red Rum Girls? Twins.
The twins, yeah. Twin girls. They didn't say Red Rum?
No.
Who said Red Rum?
Danny.
Danny's Red Rum. Well, was he writing while he saw them? I don't know.
He was riding the big wheel.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's real. Dear Lord, that big wheel.
Come and play with us,
Danny. That is put...
Come and play.
Scary thoughts in my head when you said him riding the big wheel, which also reminded me of The Omen.
Well, the use of the Steadicam.
Yeah.
You know, that was the first time that was used a lot in a movie and it was sort of perfected in that. So that was, you know, the very famous following the big wheel around
kind of things that blow my mind, at least as a younger person. That still is an older person, but it's harder to shock me now, I guess, because I've seen more things is, you know, the whole thing at the end, we're like, oh, he's dead. And then they show the really old picture of the people in the hotel.
But be aware, he's not really, I mean, is he dead? I mean, he's frozen in time, which the whole time motif in the whole movie is very pronounced, but he freezes. So, I mean, you assume he's dead, obviously, he dies, but he's frozen in time. That's...
Look, you were taking The Shining to another level for me, Michael Tester,
right now.
Oh, my God,
right, I could go on about that.
Please do. Yeah. So, wait, he's frozen in time. Stuff like this
One thing to notice, too... The day they go there, the family goes there for the first day, and he's waiting for the people to come greet him. He's sitting in a couch. If you look over, they come say hi. He's reading a magazine. He's reading a Playgirl magazine. And I think there's like a title on it about sex abuse. So it's the idea that he's been sexually abusing Danny. And that sort of plays through the whole movie in terms of the bear motif, because every time you see that, there's a bear it's a very
dude. You are off. Seriously oh, blowing yeah. my mind. This whole, I got to go back and watch The Shining this weekend immediately with all these thoughts in mind, and then they have horrific and then nightmares.
What I love about it too, he does things. See now, this is a whole nother podcast.
No, let's look.
But like he does things to really kind of fuck with your perspective. If you notice, when he first goes for the interview, the actual structure of the hotel doesn't make any sense because it kind of down the hallway. He goes behind. You figure there's more hotel, but when he turns into the guy's office, it's outside.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a window that doesn't make any sense there. There's a table when he's typing that appears and disappears all the time. When she's watching TV, the Summer 42 is playing. That TV is not plugged in.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Now, see, these are things that I probably see with my mind, but don't fully take in.
But that's the point.
Which is why it messes with your head.
Messes your head.
Wow, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Yeah, I mean, Kubrick, look, there's a lot of movies that even ones that I don't think people think are necessarily his best that I love Eyes Wide Shut. I think that's, I think the tone of it is just so.
I went to the premiere and the premiere party.
Really?
Yes, one of the best nights.
Gosh, what was that premiere party like? I want to know.
Oh, it was fantastic because, you know, he had, I mean, not that he is dead, but he died.
Yeah.
So it was a big deal. You know, it was Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. So it was another big deal. It was literally the way I explained it in the movie theater. If somebody dropped a bomb on that movie theater and killed everybody in it.
Yeah.
My dog Luigi would be running Hollywood because there'd be nobody left.
Really?
Yeah.
Just
everybody
like a
Steven Spielberg, Martin Scorsese were there to like, you know, well, everybody was, it was truly like a fantastic night.
I think it's
because it was also so important in terms of filmmaking, in terms of him being this last film. He had died, you know.
I think it was underrated.
You know, he used to say,
go for it, yeah.
People across the country to check on like the aspect ratios of the projectors and the movie theaters that were showing his films.
To make sure that it was right?
Mm-hmm.
You think it makes a big difference?
Sure. Well, to him it did, obviously.
But, I mean, is this something we're going to notice perceptibly or just like mentally?
Well, now that we don't see movies in movie theaters anymore, so it's hard to sort of tell. So that level of commitment and perfection, I don't think we'll ever see again. But I do think that stuff makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. What is your, I hate to ask you this, you said you love Kubrick. What's your least favorite Kubrick movie?
Barry Lyndon.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I just find it boring.
Yeah. I kind of agree with you.
I mean, but it's beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful films ever shot.
I still like it. It's probably my least favorite.
I still like, listen, you know, it's that movie's better than probably 99% of anything that's come out of Hollywood in the past, 10 years. Yeah. But
even White Chicks?
God. But it's still kind of boring to me.
Well, gosh, thank you. We didn't know we were going to talk about Stanley Kubrick.
There you go.
But this was a delightful avenue, and now I got to go back and watch all these movies again. Although I love them so much, and I love watching them so much visually that they kind of give me nightmares, you know? A lot of them do. Or I have, maybe not even nightmares, I dream about them. I'm thinking about what's in that movie long after I watch it.
I think that's probably the desired outcome.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why they're so set up, and so, you know, he created these worlds that, you know, there's a great story, too, about Sidney Pollack on Eyes Wide Shut. They built that big set in the beginning with the party and whatnot, and apparently, again, this is all just reading, it's not like any firsthand knowledge, but reading. But apparently, you know, Kubrick always took a long time, and there were days where he'd go and he wouldn't shoot. And Sidney Pollack, who was very accomplished, obviously, you know, Hollywood director, was saying, Stanley, like, I don't understand, like, why? Like, aren't you watching the clock? Aren't you, time's money? And Kubrick simply said, he said, we spend all this time and money building these fantastical worlds
that
we create. I want to live in it. That's
interesting.
The reason why I want to stay and I want to live in it. And I want to just, you know, discover it.
That's interesting. He's almost like the opposite of Hitchcock because Hitchcock was like, well, once we got it all ready,
boom, done.
It's over.
Boom. Yeah, it's done. It's over.
It's over. He doesn't even really want to necessarily.
Clint Eastwood, one take, Clint.
Yeah. We got it.
And, but, you know, again, if you're clear about what you want or you know what you want, but you may not discover it. In Kubrick's case, it was all about discovery. That's why he would do so many takes. He was trying, in his mind, to discover something. if you want to, you know, it all depends on how you work in style. It doesn't mean it, one does not make one better than the other.
Right.